Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Pei Gimel at the Mishnah. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Atzmois Kim Sheshimshu Nosar. Bones of sacrifices that served Nosar. Nosar is sacrificial meat, or that which is edible in a sacrifice but left beyond its time boundaries. There is a certain allotted amount of time that one has during which to consume the edible portion, the meat of the korban. If the meat is left over beyond that time, so it is considered nosar, and they're strictly forbidden to eat, and it must be burnt. Here we're going to be talking about the bones of sacrifices that contain marrow. The marrow is called the moach within the bones. Now, if you have bones that contain marrow, and the bones were left over beyond the eating time of that particular korban, so that is considered shimush nosar. So our question is, the issue that we'll deal with in the Gemara, im shimush noiser milsehi, is the fact that something is serving, is subsidiary. In the case of the bone surrounds and contains the marrow, which is the nosar. Is that considered something of legal significance? Ha'atzamos, now if you say that shimush noiser milsehi, so then Hatsomois chayovim b'sreifa, you'll have to burn those bones. And a second point is yitamu esiyodayim, they will impart a rabbinic level of defilement to hands that touch it. There is a rabbinic ruling that's found at the end of our Masechta, at the end of Maseches Psochim, that says that pigul and noisa are metam esiyodayim, that they will impart impurity to hands, to one's hands that touch nosar. So if you say that the bone in service of the marrow, which is explained as being a type of nosar, and the bones are shimush nosar, serving the nosar, and you say milsi, that it has significance, so then the same halacha will apply to someone who touches those bones. The imlav, if you say that shimush nosar is not milsa, is not something of significance, has no legal significance, oz yehei efshe luzrok es atzomos, then it will be said that you can simply throw out the bones. We now turn to the Mishnah. Ho'atzomos, and the atzamos are bones, but specifically bones that have in them nosar. Now Rashi adds an important point. When you're talking about a korban pesach, which is the topic that we are discussing, there is a prohibition from the Torah to break open bones of a korban pesach. So since one is forbidden to open up the bones, the nosar bohen moyach, and there remains in them the marrow, varehu nosar, the marrow is becomes nosar, and nosar is, once again, it's something left beyond the time boundary allotted to eating it, the tone straight from, therefore it requires burning. So our Mishnah says, ho'atzamos v'hagidin v'hanosar yisrafu b'shisha asar. The time for burning them is the 16th of Nisan, which in effect is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Chal shisha asar lios b'shabbos. If, let us say, Pesach came out on a Friday, so the day after, that's the 15th of Nisan, the 16th then would be a Shabbos. You cannot burn sacrificial meat. You can't burn things of, even though they're sacrificial in nature, you can't burn them on Shabbos. So Yisrafu b'yud zayin, you'll have to wait till the 17th of Nisan, which would be a Sunday. L'fi she'enon doichin as a Shabbos v'lo es yom tov. The burning of these things, the atzamos, gidim, and nosar, do not supersede Shabbos nor yom tov. So that the basic restrictions of burning things on Shabbos and yom tov remains in place, and hence you can't burn the atzamos, gidim, and nosar on a Shabbos. The Gemara. We should have translated, there's in addition to the atzamos, the bones, gidim are the sinews of the animal. And we'll talk more about the nature of these gidim. There are many different parts, different types of gidim within the animal. The Gemara. Omar Rav Mori Bar Avua, Omar Rav Yitzchok. Atzamos kochim sheshimshu nosar. These are the bones of sacrifices that remained in them the marrow, and they were left beyond the eating time. Hence, the bones were in service of the nosar. Mitamines yadayim hoyo v'nase bosis ledover osur. The bones will impart tuma as the nosar itself. If one touches nosar meat, so there is a tumas yodaim, a rabbinic tuma that affects the hands. So too in touching the bones that contain the nosar marrow. And the reason for that is they became nase, they became bosis, a bosis in English, a base, like this, like the word in Hebrew. A bosis, a basis of forbidden item, the nosar. So since they were the container, the bosses, the container of the nosar, they themselves take on the same characteristics vis-a-vis the tumas yodayim that the bone will impart to one who touches them. The Gemara has a question, and the question lasts a number of lines. We also have a new geometric form, and there, it's explained on the side under our Mivne heading. You will see now a Nisayon Lahavi Siola Rabbi Yitzchok, an attempt to support Rabbi Yitzchok. The inverted house marking that we'll see later on the Omid is a Kushya al Rabbi Yitzchok. It goes in the opposite direction. So the Gemara asks, Nemo Mesayale, can we say the following Tanaic source supports Rabbi Yitzchok? The source is our Mishnah. Rabbi Yitzchok had said, in a halacha in isolation, namely atzamos kochim shishim shenosar mitamas yadayim. So can we say that our Mishnah supports Rav Yitzchok's teaching? What does our Mishnah say? Atzamos vaginiv anosar yisrafu letezayin. They are burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Hani atzamos hechidomi. What's the nature of the bones featured in our Mishnah? I lema deles behu moyach. If you're speaking about bones that have no marrow, lama v'sreifa. Why does the Mishnah insist on their being burnt? Nishdinu. You can simply throw them out. Ela pshita deis behu moach. It's then obvious that we're talking about bones that contain marrow. Now let us glance at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. The isbu moyach umitchilasan the sreifa oimden. These bones of a korban pesach that contain marrow, at the very outset they are destined to be burnt. Sheosur l'shovron. There's a Torah prohibition in breaking those bones. V'al korchuch nasim noisar, and by force the contents will become nosar. It's not like meat that we say, go ahead and eat it before it becomes nosar. Here, you don't have any option. The marrow will become nosar because you can't break the bone open to get to it. Hilka choshiv luhu ba'anpi nafshayu. Therefore, they are considered in the mission as a separate entity. Velo havu b'chlal v'hanoisu demasnisa. They're not included in the term nosar of the Mishnah. The term nosar of the Mishnah refers to the meat of the Korban Pesach that was left over. That was something you could have eaten. Here the atzamos are referring to the bones that contain the marrow, something that you could not have eaten. So it was destined from the outset to being burnt. So we continue in the Gemara. So we've established that we're talking about bones that contain the marrow. If you say that the service of Nosar, the bones as a container of Nosar, is considered milso, something of significance, amtu lahochi, mean therefore boi sreifa, therefore we require the bones to be burnt. Elo I amris shimush noiser lav milsahi. If you say that the fact that something is in service of the noser, that it has no significance, lomaluhu sreifa, why burn the bones? Nizbarinu, why not just break open the bones now at this point in time? That the moach has become nosar, the marrow has become nosar, so its contents are puzzle, and therefore, since we're dealing with something that is puzzle right now and unfit to eat, so you can now break them open. And the nechlitza lemoach did who take out the marrow. Venis refei, burn the marrow, venishdin hu the ditu, and throw out the bones. And yet that's not suggested. It's what the Mishnah says is on the 16th of Nisan you're going to take the bones and burn them. Elo lav shmami no, shimush noisar milsahi. So we must conclude that which is in service of the nosar takes on the same characteristic of the nosar. And as we have already explained, as Rav Yitzchok himself said, that they will also impart Tumas Yodayim, just like Noser itself. Amri lo. Here the Gemara rejects our conclusion. Li'oilom e maloch shimush noser lav milsa hi. Lav milsa. I will tell you that the service of Noser doesn't impart to the bone legal significance. Now, if that's the case where our question was, so why not just break open the bone, take out the marrow, burn it, and throw out the bone? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of our bow, this is following the opinion or the analysis that when the Pasuk says, Etzem lo sishburu boi, the word bow we have in quotation marks, it's a quote from that Pasuk, Etzem lo sishburu boi, you cannot break the bones because shir v'afilu b'posel. It applies not only to a kosher situation, but even after it became posel. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a bracketed section, and on the side we have a note by where the star appears. Miad achrei sograyim, immediately after the bracketed section, Hagemara makshal dinus Rabbi Yitzchok. The Gemara will challenge Rabbi Yitzchok's din. What we have done structurally till now, we stated Rabbi Yitzchok, we tried to support him, and then we rejected the support. After the bracketed section, we will then ask a question on Rabbi Yitzchok. Besochas sograyim, Hagemara makshal hadchiya. The seal of Rabbi Yitzchok, within the bracketed section of the Gemara, will raise a question on the point of rejection, umetaretzes, and then answers that question, klomer ad ha-mesve, nisheres ha-dechil le-siyuah, that up till the bracketed, the end of the brackets, this dechia, this rejection of the support, will remain as a rejection. So now, the bracketed section, being that hopefully the structure is a little clearer. The Gemara just got finished saying that really Shimush Noser is not Milsa, is really of no legal significance. And if you'll ask, why can't you break open the bone, take out the marrow, burn it, and just throw out the bone? Because the Pasuk restricts breaking open the bone, even Bepusel. And here we're talking about Nosar. The Gemara asks, in the brackets, Va'afilu Bepusel Salkadaitach. Is that so? That even in something that's unfit, there's a bone-breaking restriction? V'hotnan, have we not learned the following? This is a Tanaic source from later on. Avol hamoysir betohor v'ashoyver betomei enoy soifeg esarboyim. The point that we want to emphasize just right now, because this will be discussed later in the perek, but for right now, in this source, we've dashed, underlined, v'ashoyver betomei, one who breaks the bones of a korban pesach that became tomei, Enos of his own. He doesn't deserve the 40 lashes. In other words, he hasn't violated the negative command of Etzem Lo Sishburu Boi. So what do we see here? That when it comes to something that's posel, like the Tomei over here, there's no problem. So how can you reject the siyua based on the idea that there's an issur shviras etzem even b'posel when you see that's not so? Loi kashya. There is no problem. Kan shoyso lo shas hakosher, kan shelo hoyso lo shas hakosher. Basically, there is a prohibition of breaking the bones even if something is posel. That will be the case in something that became nosar. It was a perfectly good korban Pesach, but the time lapsed, and now I have a bone that comes from a korban Pesach that was once kosher. Now it's posel. There is an iser shaviras etzem. That is what we said in our dechiyah, just three lines up. Kan, this source that says shavir b'tomei einot sofik is rabbanan kan shelo hoyso lo shas hakosher. There was no point at time when the korban was available to be eaten. For example, it became tomei before zrika sadam, before the blood was sprinkled, so the korban became tomei, so it didn't have a point in time in which you could have eaten it. In such a case, those bones are not subject to the iser of etzem lo yisish buruboi. Uman tano deshoni le bein choysu l'shas ha-kosher lo yisu l'shas ha-kosher. Which Tana makes such a distinction between a Korban Pesach that was available, was acceptable, versus one that did not reach the point of permission? Who makes a distinction like that? And we're raising this issue in the context of Shviras Etzem, namely that if the Korban Pesach had a Shas HaKosher, the word kosher comes from like the word kosher, that it was once acceptable, then there will be an Issur Shviras Etzem, and if it never reached the point of acceptance, enough acceptability, because it became Tomei, for example, before the Zrikas Adam, there is no Isser. Rabbi Yankov is the one to make this distinction. Desanyan, we have a Tanaic source in which we'll see three opinions, and we want to focus on the number two opinion, that of Rabbi Yankov. The Pasuk says, V'etzem lo sish buru boi. Boi means b'kosher v'lo b'posel. The Isser, the prohibition, is only if the korban is kosher, not in a case where it is posel. Rabbi Yankov oimer, Rabbi Yankov says as follows: Hoy soloi shas hakosher v'nifsal. If the korban Pesach was once acceptable and just in the, because time lapsed, it became unfit on the grounds of nosar. So yesh bo mishum shviras etzem. Then there is a restriction, even though right now it's puzzle, right now it's unfit. You still cannot break the bones. However, lo hoy soloi shas hakosher ein bo mishum shviras etzem. If it never reached a point that you could have eaten it, so then there is no prohibition of breaking the bones. Reb Shimon Oimer, echod ze v'echod ze ein bo mishum shviras etzem. According to Reb Shimon, he's very lenient that if you're dealing with something that right now is puzzle, whether it had shasa kosher, didn't have a shasa kosher, there is no iser of shviras etzem. If it appears in this source that Reb Shimon is saying the same thing as the Tana Kama, Tosfos addresses this particular issue. But for our purposes, we were emphasizing Reb Yankov, for he was the Tana that we were seeking out. But now we have the inverted house. We will be challenging Reb Yitzchok's halacha. Meisvei, kol atzomos hakodshim ein tu'unin sreifa. All bones of sacrifices don't require burning. Chutz mi'atzmus ha-pesach, b'tnei ha-takola. With the exception being bones of a korban pesach, because of the takola, because of stumbling. Because only with regard to the bones of the korban pesach, there is an iser of shviras etzem. Hani atzomos hechi domi. What is the nature of the bones in this source? Ilema de lesbuhu moyach. If they don't have marrow, loma luhu srefo, then why do they need to be burnt? Elabshita de is buhu moyach. Rather, it must be that we're talking about bones that have in them marrow. V'yisalka daitach shimush noisar milsahi. If Mshimush nosar, that which is containing, serving, or containing nosar is of significance, like Reb Yitzchok claimed, Atzmos kochim amai ein tunin sreifa. Then why, in the case of the kochim bones, do they not require burning? And yet the source says that the atzmos kochim don't require burning. As we continue in the Gemara, we see triangles that appear, and on the side, two tirutzim al hakusha shikshu al Rabbi Yitzchak. We have two answers to this question. The Gemara continues, and we also noted that this is constitutes essentially a section of Gemara that we call a long answer with two parts, and this continues down the first six lines of Amud Beis. So, Omer of Nachmo Yitzchak, Hocha b'may askinon, kagoin shemotz on chalutzin. This source is talking about someone who found bones that were split open. They, as Rashi says, they were broken, and the moach, the marrow, was removed from them. Atzmos kochim de'ein bohen mishum shviras ha'etzem, bones of sacrifices in general, besides the Korban Pesach, that do not present a prohibition of breaking. Kami denevu noser chatzinu. Before the bones, before the marrow became nosar, they split open the kochim bones, removed the marrow, ate it. Velo havu shimush nosar, velo bo'u sreifa. Those bones were not in service of nosar to begin with. The meat content, the marrow content, was removed before the time period lapsed. And hence, the bones were not shimush nosar, they weren't serving nosar. Therefore, the bones don't need to be burnt. Atzamos ha-pesach di'esh bohen mishum shviras ho'etzem. When it comes to Korban Pesach bones, where there is a breaking prohibition, Amor, I will say, Lebosur denevu nosar hu dechatzinu. Only after the time lapsed that the marrow became nosar were they broken open. And that the reason for that is that after they became nosar, so there's no longer an Isser Shiviris Etzem. Vahavaluhu Shimush Nosar. Those bones were in the service of Nosar. And as a result, Ubo Usrefa, they require burning. And that is just what Rabbi Yitzchak had taught. Rav Zvid Omar, Hocho b'mayaskinon, Kagoin, Rav Zvid says that this source that spoke about Atzmos Kochim and the Atzmos HaPesach, Kagon Shemotzen were at the top of Amud Beis, he found them tzvurin tzvurin u mehen chalutzen. He found them in piles. Tzvurin are piles. And he noticed that the upper part of each pile had broken bones in it. Broken bones with the marrow removed. Rashi says, he checked out the upper part of each pile and found the bones to have been broken open. Atzmos kochim de'ein bohem mishum shviras ha'etzem. As far as kochim bones, where there is no iser, there's no prohibition of breaking them. V'kulhu havecholitz luhu v'ochiluhu v'lo bo'i sreifa. You can rest assured that just like the upper layer of bones you found broken open, all the rest were broken open as well, and the moach was removed and was eaten before the nosar time set in. And therefore there was no shimush nosar whatsoever regarding the whole pile, and therefore there's no need for them to be burnt. Atzamos ha-pesach diyesh bohen mishum shiviras ha'etzem. When it comes to the Korban Pesach pile of bones, and we know that with regard to Korban Pesach there is a shivira, a breaking prohibition, dilmo hani dechatzinu. It could be that only the upper layer were broken open, and the ulahanoch, the rest of the bones underneath the upper layer, lo chatzinu, they were not broken open. And they weren't broken open because of the isur shvira so'etzem. Uboi sreifa. And therefore, they will require being burnt. The Rashi at the top says, "Asomois kochim lo bo lemivdak tachtonim." When it comes to a pile of kochim bones, and you found the upper layer broken open with marrow removed, you don't have to check below the surface, because you can make the assumption, just like the upper layer was broken and the marrow removed before the prohibition time set in, the whole same thing with the whole pile down to the bottom. When it comes, however, to a pile of Korban Pesach bones, where you found the upper layer of bones split open, that doesn't indicate what is happening below. Ubaha polig Rav Zvid ad Rav Nachman. Regarding this, Rav Zvid is mekil, and he argues on Rav Nachman, the e motzon chalutzin. If you found the Korban Pesach bones split open, lo chomir shimush noser kulei hai, the prohibition of shimush noser isn't that strong. Latzrichoi sreifa misofek velomar boser isurayu chaltzinu, to necessitate the burning of these broken bones, these broken open bones, and to make the assumption that they were broken after the Zman Nosar set in. All that Rav Zvid will require is to check the lower level, the lower bones out, to see if they are still whole and hence needing to be burnt. However, according to Rav Nachman, the broken bones themselves need to be burnt. So that if you, as Rashi explains, the difference between Rav Zvid and Rav Nachman will be with regard to those broken bones. With regard, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, you find broken Pesach bones. We will assume that they were broken after the Zman Iser set in, and hence they will have become Shimush Noisar. According to Rav Zvid, the broken Pesach bones, we don't assume out of doubt that they were broken after the Zman Iser set in, but rather they were broken before the Zman Iser, the Zman of Noser set in. Truth be told, though, according to Rav Zvid, his approach to the bones is that they were broken before the Noser time set in. They were broken then, Be'iser, they were broken when it was forbidden to break them. But as a result of looking at things in that light, there is the leniency of not needing to burn those broken Pesach bones, according to Rav Zvid. But we now continue in the Gemara. There's a slash mark that we've placed indicating that which follows is a new idea, new topic of discussion. And on the side, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, Shitas Rav. We'll present the opinion of Rav. Gidei Tzavor, the neck sinews, Lav Bosar Ninu. They're not classified as meat. Nafkamina, the practical halachic ramification of this categorizing on the part of Rav, Ein Nimnin Aleim BePesach. You can't join in a group that's eating a Korban Pesach and to receive a portion of Gidei Tzavor. Gidei Tzavor is not considered meat. You fulfill your Pesach eating obligation only if you eat that which is called meat, not that which is non-meat. And another practical ramification is lo bo'u sreifa. The Gidei Tzavor, in the event that they're left over, they will not need to be burnt. It's only the meat of the Korban Pesach needs to be burnt, not Gidei Tzavor. The Gemara will challenge Rav with a, you'll see in the Gemara, you can see it even if you look at the text right now, we have a long question following that triangles appear in the Gemara, and they will highlight three tshuvos l'kushya Rav, as we've written on the side. And the names appear in triangles. You have Rav Chisda, Rav Ashi, and Ravina. each one of them introducing an answer, and we have a double underline showing, highlighting the point at which their answer begins. Now, the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda Amarav, Kol Hagidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavor. All the Gidim in the animal are considered meat, and when you join in to the group eating the Korban Pesach and you receive that as your portion, so you have fulfilled your mitzvah of eating a Korban Pesach. With the exception of Gidei Tzavor, the Gidei Tzavor are hard, and they are viewed as wood. They're like eight spamos, the expression you find in the literature, and therefore you won't fulfill your Pesach obligation of eating if that is what you receive as your portion. Tanan, ha'atzamos, and of course, as we said before, we're starting now a question. Tanan, ha'atzamos v'agirim v'noisar yisrifu b'tes zayin. The bones, the sinews, and the leftover meat shall be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Hani gidin hechidomi. What's the nature of the gidim over here? Notice the style of the Gemara is very similar to the style of the Gemara when we introduced this source in our on Amud Aleph, where the Gemara was focusing on the issue of the bones. It said hani atzamos hechidomi. Here we are focusing on the gidim part of the source. What is the nature of the gidim? I lema gidei basar. If you're talking about the sinews that run in the meat of the animal that are essentially considered like meat, nichlinu, then they should be eaten. The itosar, and if this source is describing gidin that have been left beyond the time for eating the Korban Pesach, so then hainu nosar, then it's already mentioned in the source when it mentions nosar. Nosar is meat left over. So if you're talking about gidei basar, it's included in nosar of the source. Elo pshita gidei tzavar. Rather, it must be that we're talking about the neck sinews. And Rashi, let us look at the Rashi a few lines up from here. Elo pshita gidei tzavar ko'omar. Umishum she'ein ne'echole machmus koshion, since they are not edible because of their toughness, money lu bahadi atzamos, they're counted to alongside the bones. The komar, and this source is telling us the ikoron lesrefa. They're from the outset they are destined to be burnt. The mistama lo ochiluhu, because in all likelihood you're not going to be eating it. We continue in the Gemara. I amres bishlama bosar ninhu. If you say that the gidei tzavar are Bosar, and it's something that you could fulfill your Korban Pesach eating obligation through them, and that's not like Rav's approach. Amtulachi bo yisrefo, therefore they require burning, and as was indicated in the source. So you're dealing with something that is classified as Bosar. You could fulfill your Pesach obligation through eating the Gidei Tzavor, and that being the case, so they need to be burnt, as you burn meat. Eloi Amres, if you're going to take Rav's approach, Lav Basar Ninhu, that the Gidim, and we're saying Gidei Tzavor are not considered Basar, Lomelu Srefa, why do you have to burn them? Burning is something that is restricted to that which is classified as Basar. And this source you see, Gidim, i.e. Gidei Tzavor, requiring Srefa, indicating contrary to Rav. Before we continue with the Gemara in its defense of Rav, where you see Rav Chista, Rav Ashi, and Ravina presenting their defenses of Rav, there's a strategy that we want to point out, and we have a little starred note. You see on the side of the Gemara, Kedei lahogein al Rav, in order to defend Rav's position, Tzrichim lomar doho dekotoni vagidim yisrufu betezayin, the Tanaic source that mentioned the burning of the Gidim on the 16th, eino medubar begidei tzavor. We're going to have to say it's not talking about the Gidei Tzavor, because according to Rav, Gidei Tzavor are not considered meat, and as such they don't need to be burnt. Oz sheila samafteachi, well now the key question arises, ezo gid, what kind of gid can we say is oimed mitchiloso lisrefa? What other kind of gid is something that is destined to burnt. Tofazu, this phenomenon, eino dome aleph lenosar, what we're trying to describe is something that at the outset was oimed l'sreifa. That thing, that entity, that category of oimed mitchila l'sreifa is not like nosar. Nosar is meat that was left over, but nosar was meat was something that was she'en chilasa l'sreifa. It was meat that you were expected to eat, not something that from the outset you knew would be burnt. And the eino kemo stam etzim v'zorken oso, and this gidim that we're describing in the source as oimed mitchilas l'sreifa, something originally destined to be burned, is also not like a bone, a simple bone, because a simple bone you simply throw out. Bones that require burning, so we just discussed that in our previous sugidas, bones that contain moach in them, but a simple bone you would simply throw out. So this category of the gidin, which we described as oimed mitchilo l'sreifa, something that was destined to be burned at the outset, and we're not referring to gidei tzavar so as to be able to defend rav. So what is it? Omer Rav Chisda. We turn back to the Gemara. Loi nitzrecha ela legid hanoshev aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. The source that said gidim are nisrofen because they were oimed mitchila l'sreifa is a reference to the gid hanoshe. This is a nerve that's found in the hind leg of an animal, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer eino noeg ela ba'achas vadas machras shel yamin. There are two hind legs to an animal. Rav Yehuda claims that the gid hanoshe is present only in the right hand hind leg, the right hand leg. And das machras, one is led to believe, that's a very loose translation, there's a much more accurate way of dealing with the expression das machras, in fact there's a machlokas, but one would be led to believe that it's a reference to the right leg. We have a bracketed section. Following the brackets, we see a second approach to defend Rav. On the side of the bar, we have a note, an explanatory note, where you see the double star, where we've written Tama Sograyim, Laharos Shetirutsu Shurav Chisda Nishar. The reason for these brackets is to show that Rav Chisda's answer sticks, namely, that the source that spoke about Gidim and their needing to be burnt because they could not have been eaten at the outset is, as Rav Chisda explained, we're talking about the Gid Hanoshe, the hind nerve, sometimes it's translated as a sciatica nerve, but I don't take any responsibility for that, but it's a hind nerve that the Torah prohibits one eating, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a reference to the right hand gid hanoshe. B'soch ha-sograim, ha-gemora rotza le'arer al tshuva zu elo she-rav iko tirates. Within the brackets, there's an attempt to weaken this approach, but as we will see later, Rav Iko comes and answers the question. So Rav Chisda's approach remains. Now before we get into the Gemara itself, Rashi provides a great deal of important background for appreciating this section. We take a look at the Rashi, across from here, a line or a couple lines up, Lo nitzuch el legid hanoshe. Li'oilam gidei tzavor lav bosor nino. That's like Rav. The gidei tzavor are not considered bosor. Ushar gidim baser gomor v'roi lachila, and other gidim are considered full-fledged meat and are fit for eating. Umasnisin demashma, and the Tanaic source, our Mishnah that implies the yesh gidim shein baser liten sreifa ustamein echolim dekomar yisru betezayin, that there are gidim that are basically meat, and through categorizing them as such, they necessitate burning and not just throwing out. and yet they are not really eaten. Stamon ein necholam. They're not destined to be eaten, as it says they are to be burnt on the 16th. Begid hanoshe shurach v'kosher la'achila. This is a reference to the gid hanoshe, which is something that's not hard; it's soft and fit for eating. It's kosher la'achila, Rabbi Yehuda. Diyamar ein noeg elo ba'achas. You see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the gid hanoshe, there are two gid hanoshes. There's one in the right leg and one in the left hind leg. The one in the left hind leg is totally all right, according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, v'lo yad'ino behemina'yo. He says, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the gid hanoshe applies only to one leg, and we mistakenly, or jumped to the conclusion mistakenly, and said the left one is allowed. Not really so. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the gid hanoshe appears in one leg, but we don't know which one the Torah forbids. Hilkoch, since we don't know which one the Torah forbids, there's a doubt, there's an element of suffix. Hilkoch mitchila oimed oisei shel heter l'sreifa. Therefore, the original, that gid, we don't know which one it is, but whichever one it is destined to be burnt. Mishum de lo yadale de lichta. I don't know which one it is in order to eat it. So, the result is that both gid hanoshes are going to be burnt, because I don't know which one is actually permitted and which one is not. The Gemara in the brackets will raise a question, and Rashi introduces the question. What we'll do is we'll learn first the Rashi, and then we'll be able to appreciate what the Gemara is saying. Uparchinon, the Gemara then will ask, Tifsho miha, let us then use this information from the fact we're saying in our Mishnah that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah says that the Gid, the Gidim, the Gid Hanoshe is to be burnt, and that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So let us conclude, Tifsho miha, de Mesafka Leila Rabbi Yehuda Behei Nohig. That, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, he in fact is in doubt in which one the prohibition of gid hanoshe actually applies. The ha milsi bayalam de per gid hanoshe. This issue of understanding Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is raised in Maseches Chulin, in the perek known as perek gid hanoshe de Kotoni. It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein noheg elo ba'achas vadas machras shel yamin, that the issue of gid hanoshe applies only to one of the legs, and the das, one's mind, will lead you to think that it's the yamin, the ibayalon. When we say das machras, what are we to understand as far as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Mifshat lei the Rabbi Yehuda, is it clear to Rabbi Yehuda the shel yamin, that the gid hanoshe is present only, that the singular gid hanoshe is a reference to the right leg, umay das dekomar? And what is das in that Rabbi Yehuda said when he said das machras? Das Torah kidem mefarish osam. Das Torah means it's the Torah's opinion, or the Torah's dictate, the Torah's mind, that the right is usher. As the Gemara in Chulin explains, the pasuk says ha yerech, and the hay is hamiyumenes shebirech, the stronger one, the right hand side. Oidilma, or as far as trying to understand Rabbi Yehuda's point of das machras, maybe svuki misafkalei. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is in doubt. Umay das noita, that your mind leads you to think. Klomar mistabrahochi tifsho mimas nisen. Let us now conclude midekomar tchiloso l'sreifa, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that the gid hanoshe is destined to be burnt. Vadai misafka lei. Therefore, he is in doubt as to which leg the gid hanoshe is prohibited. Hilkoch sreifa bo travayu. Therefore, both require to be burnt. Da'akol chad v'chad omar hai dehetero have. Because regarding each one, I will say this is the mutter one. Varehu nosar. And now it is, has become nosar. And from the outset, I couldn't have eaten it. Shema zehu shel iser. Maybe this is the forbidden one. If as far as Rabbi Yehuda's position is concerned, it was obvious that it's the right-hand gid. Amai tchilos of the sreifa. Why do you say that at the outset the gid is destined to be burnt? The hetero nichle disur nishte. The heter one, eat it before it becomes noser. The issur one, just throw it out. And yet, the source says, our Mishnah says, that they are to be burnt. So with all of that, we can now go back to the Gemara. So from the fact that we're setting up our Mishnah that says the Gidim, a reference to both Gidei Noshe are to be burnt, the Gemara in the bracket says, Ve'elo tifshot desfuke misafka leider abuda. That as far as Rabbi Huda's understanding of the Gid HaNoshe, as which one is in fact Osir, he is in doubt. He's in doubt whether it's the left or the right. And he says that it's most likely the right, but maybe it's the left that's the prohibited one. De'i mifshit pshit olei, if it were clear to Rabbi Huda that it's the right one, then Hahi dehetero nichle, the gid hanoshe, that the left one eat it, udi sura nishde, the right one throw out, lomale sreifa. Why does the source, our Mishnah that says the gidim requires sreifa, why do you come on to burning to begin with? So the fact that our Mishnah says, based on our interpretation, it's a reference to the gid hanoshe and it is to be burnt, it's a reference to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who is in doubt. So why doesn't the Gemara in Chulin use this approach, using our Mishnah and setting it up like Rabbi Yehuda, to conclude that Rabbi Yehuda is truly in doubt, and hence he says they both require burning? Omar Ravika Bar Chinana. Ravika responds and says, as far as Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it's clear from the Torah that it's the right one that's forbidden. So then why the burning? Kagon shehukru ulebasof nisarvu. Because we're dealing with a situation where they got mixed up. In other words, when he slaughtered the animal and dismembered it, so he had the right hand gid and the left hand gid, and at that point he would have been able to eat the left hand and burn and throw out in the garbage the right hand. However, they got mixed up. So I don't know which is which. I don't know which one is the mutter, which one is the osir. And since one of them is mutter to have eaten and it's now become nosar, you've got to burn both of them. Just to review the last section in the brackets, we thought that from Rav Chisda's analysis, we should be able to conclude Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding the Gid HaNoshe is one of doubt, which one it is. Is it the right hand or the left hand? And yet, the Gemara didn't use this in order to conclude that. The Gemara in Chulin didn't use this information to conclude Rabbi Yehuda's position definitively. So why not? So Ravika says, because our Mishnah that says Gidim, and it's a reference to Gid HaNoshe, needs to be burned, is because they got mixed up. Not because Rabbi Yehuda lacks total clarity on which one is Osir. He knew which one is Osir, but they got mixed up. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi explains that which it says Gidim Yisrafu, and that they were destined to be burnt from the outset, is Lo Nitzuch Elo Lishmonoi Digid HaNoshe. We're talking about that which surrounds the coating, the fats around the Gid HaNoshe. The Sanya Shmonoi Mutter V'Yisrael Kedoshim Heim V'Noagin Bo Iser. The Shumon HaGid, from the Torah's perspective, is something that one is allowed to eat. However, the Jews, because they are a holy people, and they impose upon themselves additional restrictions, they don't eat the Shumon HaGid. So, that is why the Shumon HaGid is to be burnt. Why? Let's review our point. Basically, from the Torah's perspective, the Shumon HaGid is considered meat. However, it won't be eaten. And it's known at the outset it won't be eaten because of the self-imposed restriction that the Jewish people practice. Therefore, it needs to be burnt, as you would any other meat that became nosar. Ravina Omar, Bechitzon, Ufru Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gidim referred to here is a reference to the the outer gid. It's an outer nerve in the animal's hind leg. The Omer of Yudomar, well, Shnei Gidim Heim. There are two Gidim that are discussed. Panimia Somoch Leetzem Osir V'Chayavim Alav. The inner Gid. Inner means it's at a point in the leg that's closer to the opposite leg, on the inside part of the legs where one faces the other. So that's called the pnimi. That's somach letzem. It runs, this gid, or this nerve, runs close to the bone. Osur v'chayav malov. That is forbidden, and that is chayav malchus. One who eats that will be punished by lashing. In other words, that is what is osur from the Torah. Chitzon ha-somach lebosar. The other gid that runs on the outer part of the leg, that is embedded in the meat as opposed to running along the bone, that is osir v'ein chayovin olav. It is not osir from the Torah, and therefore there is no chiyuv malkos, but nevertheless you won't eat it. And since it's not going to be eaten, it's omeid l'sreifa, was destined to be burnt, and that's why it is in fact burnt. As far as why it's not thrown out is because from the Torah perspective, it's something that could have been eaten. We take a look at Rashi in the toward the end of the daf, about six lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, V'ein chayovin olav, kidem meforish taimo hasam, as the Gemara in Chulin explains, asher al kaf hayerech. That's a quote from the Pasuk. Hahu de poshid bekuli yerech, the gid that spreads throughout the entire thigh. V'hainu pnimi, that's a reference to the gid ha-pnimi. Avochitzon lo, but regarding the outer nerve, not so. U'bahu de komar tana didon, de tchiloso eino nechal, mishum isur de rabbonon. And it's regarding that one, the chitzon, that our Tana says it is not going to be eaten because of the rabbinic prohibition. The tone sreifa, it does require being burnt. The chayololo shem noisar, the chozi midiraisa, the noisar prohibition sets upon it because from the Torah standpoint it's something that could have been eaten. And as we've indicated, that which could have been eaten is considered basar, and when it's left past the time frame for eating, it becomes nosar. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah, nosar. We said, Yisrufu be tezayin, and if tezayin comes out on a Shabbos, then you burn it on the 17th of Nisan. On the side, we have a nosei, mivne heading. Diamonds will appear in the upcoming Gemara, and they represent Dalid Mekoros. There are four sources. Diamonds continue to the top of Pei Dalid Omen Aleph. Four sources. The Hasbir Loma Sorfin Noiser Shel Pesach Dafka B'Tezayin V'Lo B'Yomto B'Tezvov. Why is it that we hold off on the burning of the Nosar till the 16th of Nisan and not on the 15th Yom Tov day? Vinomar, and allowing this to take place based on Yovo Aseh Weish Tisrofu V'yidcheloys Aseh V'meleches Yom Tov. There's a well-known idea that a positive command, when it conflicts with a negative command, in this case we have positive command, burn the Nosar, the Torah orders us to burn the Nosar, it conflicts with a negative command. Do not do melachos. Do not do constructive activities on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And burning things falls into that category of the iser, of the prohibition of doing melachos. So why not say that the positive command of Bo'esh Tisrofu supersedes the negative command of meleches Yom Tov? And we see that we don't apply that principle. Now why not? Four answers. The Gemara, V'amai, why do we say burning on the 16th, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and not on the 15th, which is Yom Tov proper? Nesi Asei, V'yidchelos Asei, let the Asei, the positive command of Bo'esh Tisrofu, come and supersede the negative command of Malacha prohibition.
Omar Chizkiya v'chein toni debei Chizkiya. So Chizkiya, and likewise in the yeshiva of Chizkiya, the following Tanaic source appears. Omar Kro, loy sosiru mimenu ad boker, v'anoyser mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisrov. This pasuk deals with what is obviously nosar. And it says, don't leave over your Korban Pesach until the morning, and that which is left over until the morning must be burnt. Now there's the pasuk itself is a bit cumbersome in the sense that the word boker is repeated a second time. She'ein tam lomar ad boker. There wasn't any immediate necessity to repeat the phrase ad boker when the beginning of the pasuk mentioned don't leave it over till the morning. So if you're not allowed to leave it till the morning, I understand that when will you be burning it as noser? In the morning. Why do you have to say it again? Ma tam lomar ad boker, litein lo boker sheni l'sreifa. So the repeat of the word boker indicates that, in fact, it's not enough that you leave it over, that it's left over till the next morning, till the 15th, and you would then burn it. Not so. Boker sheni, you have to wait till the second morning, namely the morning of the 16th, before you can burn it. So it's a Torah dictate that the burning of the Nosar of the Pesach shall not take place earlier than the 16th. Abaye Omar, Omar Kro, Abaye quotes a pasuk where it says, Oilas Shabbas b'Shabbato, which means that a Korban Ola that needs to be brought on Shabbos, so you can slaughter it and process it and burn whatever needs to be burnt. Because it's a Shabbos day sacrifice, so you're allowed to do the malachas that are required for offering it. However, we infer Shabbos Korbanos on Shabbos are allowed. V'lo Oilas Chol b'Shabbos, v'lo Oilas Chol b'Yom Tov. However, an Ola of the Chol, a weekday Ola, or a weekday Ola to be burnt on Shabbos, or a weekday Ola to be burnt on Yom Tov, that cannot take place. And a Korban Pesach, let us emphasize, is in fact a Korban Chol. It's a weekday Korban. It's slaughtered and blood sprinkled on the 14th of Nisan, which is the day before Pesach. So from this pasuk, we learn that only actual Shabbos or Yom Tov Korban is allowed to be processed, and not a weekday Korban, and certainly not a case of a weekday Korban that became pasul, that it cannot be burnt on Shabbos. Rava Omar, Omar Kro, Rava quotes a pasuk in the context of Meleches Yom Tov. It says, Hu levado ye'oseh lochem. And there are two mi'utim, they're minimizing words here. Hu v'lo machshirav. That means that the malachas that you need to do in actual food preparation, the actual food preparation malachas are allowed, but not machshirav, not things that are, let's say, preparatory stages that could have been taken care of erev Yom Tov. So even though there's a heter to do malachas on Yom Tov with regard to the preparation of food, but it's not an all-encompassing heter for those kinds of activities that could have taken place mibe'od yom, we don't allow them to be done on Shabbos, and nor we don't allow them to be done on Yom Tov. So that's hu v'lo machshirav. Now another minimizing word, levadoi. The Gemara continues at the top of pei dalet amud aleph, v'lo milo shelo bizmano habo mikavochom. It's a very terse phrase, but the word levado is telling me only meleches ochel nefesh, food preparation meleches, are allowed to be done, and not circumcision if it's not the eighth day of the child's life. Now, what do I need this pasuk for to exclude circumcision shelo bizmano? Because if I didn't have the pasuk, through kalvachomer logic, I would have said that Milo shelo bizmano is overriding, will override Yom Tov. So based on this pasuk, we conclude that Milo shelo bizmano will not be done on Yom Tov. And Rashi adds the main point for us. Sreifas psul kotchim, the burning of kotchim that became unfit, is similar to Milo shelo bizmano in the sense that it's something that can be it can be delayed. It's not something that's pressing with a given date and time attached to it. There's something that could be delayed, hence something like that, like Mila Shelo Bizmano, is not allowed to be done on Yom Tov. So again, it's a Gzeres HaKosov, that even though there's a principle of Yovo Aseh V'Yitchelos Aseh, not in this case. Rav Ashi, a fourth approach on our Shabbos Son. That's a quote from the Pasuk. On the side of our Gemara, we've written the Pasuk, Vayikra Perichov Gimel Pasuk Lamites. It says, Ach b'chamisho ser yoyim l'chodesh ha-shvii bas b'chem es tfuas ha-oretz t'chogu es chag Hashem shivas yomim b'yom ha-rishon shaboson u'v'yom ha-shmini shaboson. This is a pasuk that refers to the holiday of Sukkot, and it mentions that on the first day there is shaboson, and the eighth day there is shaboson. Shaboson is desisting from malachas. So Rav Ashi says Shabboson, the Yom Tov, the word Shabboson that appears in this pasuk regarding Yom Tov equals asay hu. It's a positive command. V'ein asay doicha loisa sev asay, and the asay of bo'esh tisrofu. And remember, our original question was why not burn the nosar on Yom Tov based on the principle of yovo asay v'yidcha loisa sev. The truth is that Yom Tov is not just a los aseh. The Yom Tov is also an aseh, so that we don't say that a singular negative command can supersede something that has a double element to it, an aseh and a los aseh, which is the case with regard to Yom Tov. V'ein aseh, we're reading again, v'ein aseh, v'eishis rofu doicha los aseh v'aseh, won't supersede the lav of Meleches Yom Tov, that's the negative command, and the positive command of Shabboson. Therefore, the Sreifas Nosar has to wait till the 16th of Nisan. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.